Welcome to the Everyday Ultra Podcast, a show designed to help you level up your training, crush your races, and ultimately become a better endurance athlete every single day. Whether you're an endurance athlete as a hobby or someone who wants to be the best in the sport, this is the show for you. I'm your host, Joe Corcione, and thank you so much for listening. Now, let's get into it. What's up, everybody? Welcome to another episode of the Everyday Ultra Podcast. I'm your host, Joe Corcione, and today we're talking about one of the most important and requested topics in the world of ultra running, which is nutrition and fueling. Let me tell you, folks, this is one of the most important things that you need to get nailed down if you are training for your first ultra or 10th ultra or wherever you're going on. This is one of the most important areas to nail down because here is the reality. The reality is the number one reason for DNFs on an ultra is it's not injury, it's not sore legs, it's not mental things, it's none of that stuff. What it is actually gastrointestinal issues, aka upset stomach, which means that there is probably an error in fueling strategy. So this is one of the most important topics that you can nail down as an ultra runner, and I'm going to share everything that's worked for me in my years of ultra running, and also too from what the research shows, and by working with tons and tons of clients, nailing down their nutrition strategy for race day as well. So we're going to dive into this episode for sure. Now, there's one quick tip before we dive into this, and that is in order to have a great fueling strategy, you also need to be well hydrated, and that means having hydration gear that is not going to fail you on your runs. And let me tell you, I've used many bladders, handhelds, soft flasks over the years, and many of them have failed on me in a race, on a long training run, or they just wear down after a while, and that just stinks. But there's one brand I've been using a ton lately that has a lot of high quality hydration products that last long, they're reliable, and they're super versatile. It's hydration gear from Hydrapack, and they make hydration bladders, soft flasks, handhelds, and tons of other stuff, all designed to support you on your ultra running adventures. I've been using their handhelds on all of my shorter runs, and the cool thing is that they have a new handheld that you don't have to grip or squeeze because it straps on directly to your hand. How awesome is that? And I've also been using their soft flasks, which pretty much fit in any hydration vest, and also their bladder on my long runs when I'm training for Cocodona. And as a heads up, if you use the soft flasks on Salomon's running packs, then you use Hydrapack before. They just make their own brand of stuff as well that you can purchase directly on their website. Plus, not only do they make water reservoirs, they also have water filter caps that insert directly into their bottles. So all you have to do is fill up water from a stream or any water source, or even snow if you're in a snowy area, and all you need to do is drink it from the bottle, and it'll automatically filter it so you don't have to lug liters and liters of water with you on the adventures. I know I'll be using the filter during Cocodona this year as well, and a lot of my long training runs where there's water available. So since I want you to have the best hydration products, Hydrapack is giving you 20% off anything on their website by using the code EverydayUltra20 when you go to hydrapack.com and pick out anything as well. That's hydrapack.com, which is spelled HYDRAPAK.com, or you can go directly to the link in the show notes and use code EverydayUltra20 at checkout to get 20% off anything. That's handhelds, bladders, soft flasks, whatever you need, you can get it there. And remember, my friends, stay hydrated on the run because that's actually an important part of a nutrition strategy, which we'll talk about in here as well. All right, now let's dive into the episode on nutrition. So why is nutrition so important? Why is it such a cause for a lot of DNFs? And why is it the number one cause of DNFs, that is, right? Like, why is nutrition such a big piece of the puzzle that we need to get nailed down? Well, it's pretty simple. The more we are running, or the longer we are running outside, our body needs continuous fuel to be able to continue to move, to continue to endure, to continue to perform at our best abilities, because when we do move, our body utilizes energy, and that energy comes in the forms of calories, it comes in the form of food that we insert into our bodies, and that's where we get our main fueling source. Think about it, like, in order to live, just live, not just run, we need to eat, and eating is a form of us so we can get energy and utilize that so we can basically live as a day-to-day person. And when we run, we expend more energy, therefore we need to intake more energy out there on the run. So it seems super, super simple. But what's not as kind of intuitive is that into the nitty-gritty of it. What happens is when we ingest fuel, specifically carbohydrates, what happens is our muscles fill up with something called glycogen. And glycogen is something that basically is serving as a fuel source for us when we are out there on runs. And so when we have glycogen stored into our body, we're able to have our muscles be able to give that glycogen to us in our runs and be able to have us go for longer periods of time. Now, of course, when you're doing an ultra marathon, you're going slower, which means you're burning more into fat stores and not as much glycogen, but glycogen is still used even if you're going really, really slow because, you know, we could go into the whole thing of, you know, low carb, high fat diets, everything like that. But the reality is you still use glycogen. And even though you are burning fat stores, you still need calories in your body to have a reserve that people need to go on as well. So you need to replenish your glycogen stores and you need to make sure you have enough calories in you so your body can have the fuel to keep going. And so what happens is if you don't have a good fueling strategy, what usually happens is you go out on a run, you go out for a long run, and you might do great for, you know, the first hour, 2 hour, 3 hours, 4 hours, but if you're not properly fueling, what happens is you get what's called the bonk, right? Think about when people talk about a marathon, when they hit wall or the 18 and they call it the wall. And a lot of the times why that wall happens is because people's body hits that point where the body doesn't have enough glycogen, it doesn't have enough fuel to continue to keep going. And now we're kind of running on fumes to the end and ultimately that's usually due to a lack of not having a great solid nutrition plan. And the same thing is true in ultras, right? And, you know, we see all the time where I remember my very, very first ultra that I ever ran, I was doing really, really good for me and my standards. And I felt great. I felt awesome for like the first like 25 miles. And then like mile 30 hit. And not only did I feel sluggish, did I feel tired, but my stomach also was just in knots. It was just totally painful. It felt like I was going to puke, but I also felt like I had a stomach ache at the same time, and I couldn't feel anything else because my stomach was already destroyed. And ultimately, I got to this point where I was just depleted out there. And basically, I dragged myself across the finish line because my body was really, really searching for that fuel source inside of me to get there. Now, if you've been on a long training run and you've had that bonking feeling, or maybe you've been in a race before where your stomach has turned, you've probably had that feeling before, and you know it absolutely sucks. So, a lot of that even stomach issues where it comes from that sickness and that kind of churning in your stomach, that also comes from not having a great nutrition strategy as well. So not only do we need to give our body the fuel we need to also have our stomach be well prepared to handle the food as well. Because one of my favorite quotes of all time in ultra running comes from Jason Koop, and he says, ultra running is an eating contest on the go. And I think that's so, so awesome because a lot of the times we think of ultra running as, well, just running for long periods of time. But think about how many calories you're ingesting in an ultra. Like, you're ingesting tons and tons of food. And again, the reason why that is to keep your body going on and on and on. So this is something that you really need to do and why it's so important in there. Now, here's the reality. Anytime I talk with athletes who write into me on the podcast, or if I talk with athletes that I'm working with one-on-one on a coaching basis, I will tell you 95% of the time, the athletes who are coming to me usually are eating way less in their training runs and in their races than they likely should be in order to have an optimal performance out there, right? And I don't blame this on anyone. Even for me, when I first was using ultra running fueling strategies, or quote unquote strategy, it's a very loose word because I was kind of just weighing it, I was eating way less. And I found out that the more that I ate and the more that I refined a plan, I was able to increase my performance, feel better on my long runs, and also recover from my long runs in a quicker period of time, which ultimately led me to have a great strategy for race day and to allow me to not only perform better, but not have GI issues. And I haven't had any extreme GI issues, like where it's just like painful and everything like that, in a very, very long time, because I've been very, very diligent on coming up with a strategy for this as well. And that's why I want to share how I was able to do this on this podcast, so you can be able to do it for yourself as well. But just know that you might be eating way less than you should, because I see that from a lot of people a lot of times too. And we're going to talk about how you should, or what the amount of calories and carbohydrates you should be ingesting on your runs in order to have a great strategy to make sure you're getting in enough calories. But before I kind of touch on that too, there's another kind of big error where it comes to nutrition, where a lot of people do get that wrong when they are preparing for an ultra marathon, and that is most people don't practice the nutrition strategy in their training. Now, of course, when it comes to training, you got to put in the running, you got to put in the long runs, you got to put in the time on feet. Absolutely 100%. That is the most important thing. What I can argue is just as important is practicing your race day nutrition strategy. And that is making sure that your strategy actually works, that it doesn't make your stomach sick, and ultimately your body's going to respond better to it. But on top of that, it's not only practicing your race day strategy, it's also training your gut to be able to digest food when you're running and also be able to handle the increase of food while you're running in as well. And that part is really, really important because you have to train your gut just like you train your muscles to be able to go for longer periods of time, right? Your legs, you're training them longer to run longer. Your stomach, you're training it to be digesting longer periods of time, even when it's under a lot more stress. And here's why that's important. It's not just the volume of food you're trying to train your gut at. You're training your gut to be more efficient, because another reason why people get GI issues, and this is this applies to pretty much every single person who's out there running. When you're out there running, what happens is you're putting your body under extreme stress, like really, really extreme stress. And I'm talking long distance, right? Like ultra runs. Like if you're just running for like an hour easy out, you're not putting your body under extreme stress. But for pretty much almost any ultra marathon, you're putting your body under extreme stress. And there will come a point where your body is going to see all of the, you know, work that you're putting into your body. And it's going to be like, holy crap, like we need to take care of their muscles. We need to make sure they keep moving. We need to make sure that they're continuing to push. And what's going to happen is it's going to send out resources, aka blood, and to other areas in your body, specifically your leg muscles and everything else inside your body to support those things going forward. Now, where does it pull those things from? It pulls it from other organs, specifically your digestive system. And when your digestive system has less blood in there, it's not going to digest as efficiently because it has less resources to kind of work on. So what happens is if we don't have our gut to train, or if we don't have our gut trained to be able to digest efficiently when it's in these extreme periods of stress, ultimately it's going to be a lot weaker at digesting those things. And you're going to get to a point where, you know, even if you're fueling really well, if your gut's not trained, it's not going to digest as well, and it's going to freak out, and it's going to be like, well, we're not going to digest this as well. And that's where you can get that upset stomach and not be as, you know, strong as you need to be in that area. So the reason why I'm explaining all this stuff before I get into the strategies is because I want to talk about kind of like the behind the scenes and what's going on. So if you've ever had stuff, you're like, I don't know why, you know, I keep getting sick on my runs. I don't know why I keep getting these stomach issues. I don't know why. And that's one reason why. And another reason why, before we dive into the strategies and everything, is that a lot of people are sensitive to different foods. And this is why I never say you have to eat this specific food or this specific item in order to be successful in ultra. It's because everybody's stomach is differently. Like what reacts well for me might not react well for you. Like I'll give you an example. For me, I can take down gels pretty easy. My stomach doesn't have any problem with them, and I can usually take them on without really getting a stomach ache or anything like that. But there are some people who, if they have one gel, it's going to totally bomb their stomach. So the point is this, it's everybody is different. And the thing, which I'll talk about later in this episode, is you need to figure that out for yourself, because I remember a huge mistake that I made when I first started ultra running was I would just go to the aid stations, and if it looked good, I would try it. But I had never tried that thing out in training before. I'd never see how my stomach would react to it. And ultimately, like, my stomach was a wreck. And I remember even I brought things with me in my drop bag. And I remember I brought like the Lenny and Larry protein cookie, because I was like, oh, like this will be pretty good out there. And I never had ran with it. I never had tried it on a run, and I ate it. And I remember, like, my stomach just did not like it at all. This is my very first 100 miler, and I was just absolutely destroyed with it. So that was not a good idea. And now I make sure that anything I consume on race day, I have tried before in the past, and I know without a shadow of a doubt that it's going to be able to be good out there. And even if it's not, I have backups to be able to help me out with it, which I'll kind of go through what that process is like in this episode as well. So those are kind of the key common mistakes that lead to a lot of people getting, you know, stomach issues or having GI issues or feeling like they're bonking or anything like that out there as well. And then I guess, all right, so those are some key common mistakes that usually lead to a lot of nutritional issues when it comes to ultra running. Now, what are the key baselines that you need to have in terms of nutrition to be able to fuel specifically out there to help you perform your best and stay fueled on your long training runs or your races? Now, what I'm about to go to is I'm going to give you the calories suggested and also the carbohydrates suggested. Now, just to know, I'm going to give pretty big ranges on these two things because, as I mentioned before, with the types of food that you're eating, the amounts are going to vary greatly to you and who you are as a person and how much your body expends energy, also how fast you're going, everything like that too. So here is the general kind of guidelines for calories and carbs that I would suggest. So for calories, I always suggest having at least a minimum of 250 calories an hour and a maximum of 400 calories an hour. Now that's a really, really big range, and I'll kind of talk about how you can test to see which is best for you. But I say you should be getting in at least 250 to 400 calories per hour when you are running in your training runs and your ultra marathon. Now, it doesn't have to be every training run. I'll talk about that in a second, but you should be targeting that strategy for calories in your long runs and your races. Now, for carbohydrates, you should be targeting anywhere between 50 to 100 grams of carbs per hour in your long runs or your races as well. Now, generally, the carbohydrate and the calories, they will be correlated because the more carbs in a product, the more calories generally a product will have, assuming that like fat contents and the other macronutrients are equal. But so usually those things are a sliding kind of thing on there as well. But that is the, and so again, the minimum given those ranges is 250 calories an hour and 50 grams of carbs an hour, right? But there's a big range on there. And most of the time, I see a lot of people end up in the 300 to 350 kind of range for calories and about the 75 grams range for carbs as well. For me personally, my strategy, and again, this is not something for everybody to take on because it's different for every person, is my strategy is I do 400 calories an hour with 100 grams of carbs. So I'm on the very high end of that. And that's just because for me, like doing testing, that works well for me and keeps me specifically fueled. For years and years and years, I did 200 calories an hour and 50 grams of carbs. And I always bonked in my races and everything like that. And then once I started to read up on nutrition, read the studies, read the science, do my own nutrition testing protocol, which I'll kind of go through here, I found out that I was on the high end range of everything, 400 calories and 100 grams of carbs per hour. Now, can you go more than that? You can, but generally, like, our stomach can only handle so much food per hour. And even if we train our gut to be able to take in those calories, sometimes if you're taking in consistently like 500, 600 calories an hour, even when you're running, our stomach can still get overwhelmed. Like even if your stomach's super efficient, you still can get to a point where your stomach is overloaded and it's like, I can't do this. And then it's going to come out the end that it came in, aka your mouth, in the form of not food. And I won't be as graphic on this podcast because of that, but You can pick up what I'm putting down or picking up what I'm throwing up in this scenario, right? Oh God, that was a terrible pun. But anyways, how do you make sure to find out the amount that is best for you when you are deciding what your nutrition strategy is? So I always say you want to start on the low end of each of those ranges and progress from there. So for example, like I said, the range for calories, 250 to 400 an hour, the range of carbohydrates, 50 grams to 100 grams of carbs per hour. So for someone who is just starting their nutrition strategy, I always say start at about 250 calories an hour. And for carbohydrates, start anywhere between 50 to 70 grams of carbs per hour. The reason why I vary that is because, again, foods are going to have different macro compositions and therefore different kind of carbohydrates composition. So that's why I like to give the range 50 to 70. So you don't have to find like a specific product that is 250 calories an hour and 50 grams of carbs an hour, right? So that is something that you want to have in there as well. Now, one thing that I also want to say about that per hour thing, and this actually goes to another mistake that people make, is that you don't really want to do those on the top of each hour. So what do I mean by that? Is when I say do these things per hour, you know, when it gets to an hour outside of running, don't be like, oh, well, now's the time for me to slug down 250 calories and my carbohydrates right on top of the hour. Because that's another reason why you can get an upset stomach, is because we are not giving the frequency of digestion that our stomach needs to keep going. So again, kind of going back to what I said before about, you know, your stomach having resources pulled away with it. If you wait too long to eat, what's going to happen is your digestive system is going to send a signal to your brain and basically be like, hey, like, we don't have anything to digest, so we are good to go here, brain. We're good to go. Feel free to divert resources otherwhere. And your brain goes, roger that, stomach. Let me just move that blood to the other areas. And then what happens is when you get to that top of the hour and you eat, all of a sudden it's like, wait, whoa, 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 hold on. Like, there's food incoming, but we have all these resources and blood firing off in different areas. Now your stomach's kind of playing catch up to be able to try and digest that thing, but usually it's not going to catch up as well. And that's also too where the food can kind of sit in your stomach, or you can also get a little bit of an upset stomach because your stomach is not in active digestion mode and it's trying to kind of catch up and keep up from that. So in order to mitigate this effect, what I usually have seen successful for me and also the athletes that I work with is that you do a periodized and more frequent fueling kind of strategy where you're taking in calories at a frequent basis. Now, I usually see the ideal range, at least for me and for other people, is around 20 minutes. You're taking your calorie and carb consumption. You're dividing it by 3 because 20 times 3 is 60 and 60 minutes is an hour, right? So every 20 minutes, you would take in a third of your calorie and carb consumption per hour. And you would do that every single 20 minutes. Now, you can go even more frequent. You can do 10 minutes if you want. You can even go on the high end of that at 30 minutes. But I generally say, like, you know, take about a range of 10 to 30 minutes of where you're fueling in that, and then divide your hourly intake of calories and carbohydrates by that specific interval, and take it at that given interval. Now, one thing that can be super, super helpful to, you know, not feel like you have to like keep looking at your watch every 20 minutes in order to fuel, because here's the reality. If you're on a race, you might be in a conversation with someone. Listen, this has happened to me so many times. You're in a conversation with someone and it's a great conversation. You're talking about life. You're enjoying it. You're like, look at those views. Isn't this amazing? Oh my gosh, this is great. And then you look down at your watch and an hour has passed and you haven't eaten anything. Oh my gosh, this has happened to me so many times in the past. So what I do to help to avoid this, and what I suggest athletes do, is on your watch, if you have a watch, most smartwatches have this feature and functionality, is you can set a timer to go off every single moment you're supposed to eat, whether it is 10, 20, or 30 minutes, to give you a buzz on your wrist of when you should be eating. That way, even if you do get caught up in conversation, if you do get transfixed in the views, or hey, maybe you're just in the zone and you're just like, fuck it, I'm going to cruise here, and you don't even have to worry about looking at your watch. Your watch is just going to buzz, and that's when you're like, oh, okay, I'm going to go ahead and eat. And usually the buzz is going to be different than the buzz that goes off every single mile or every split if you have that feature on. So you can go ahead and do it. So I wear a Coros watch, not sponsored by Coros, by the way, just a heads up. But I wear a Coros watch and I have a nutrition timer that goes off every 20 minutes when I'm on a long run, so I can go ahead and eat from there. So that's a good way to kind of keep that in there as well. Now, if this kind of goes into the, you know, how you can start to refine those things, right? From the 250 to 400 calories an hour to the 50 to 100 grams of carbs an hour. And now we have the other piece, which is the frequency of ingestion. What a fancy word, right? Frequency of eating. Let's just use layman's terms here. Frequency of eating also late in the mix from anywhere between every 10 minutes to 30 minutes, right? And so how do we find out which of the combination of these three things is going to be ideal? Like I said, start on the low end and progress from there. So with the low end, I already went over the calories and carbs. With the frequency, I always say try going 30 minutes. Again, I usually say 20 minutes is ideal, but you know, you want to try going at the low end, because the reason why you want to start on the low end and not the high end is because usually if you just start off right on the high end, it's not a good indication, because right off the bat, your stomach might not be trained really to digest food off the gun. And so if you're trying to overload it with food, with all this calories, with all these carbs in the most frequent time period, your stomach's going to freak out and it's going to be like, whoa, what the hell is this? This is not great. And we don't want to do that. So I always say start low and progress from there. And so on your first few runs, when you're testing your nutrition, which I'll kind of give you the guidelines of which runs to test it out on, you want to start with 250 calories, about 50 to 70 grams of carbs. And I would say 30 or 20 minutes is when you're going to eat, you know, the intervals to make up your specific count for that hour. Now, the way that you would kind of measure if you need to increase it on your next run is just take a look at your energy levels. Are you feeling still like pretty good energy wise, right? Are you feeling good? Are you feeling depleted? Are you feeling like you're bonking? Are you feeling well fueled, right? These are things that happen. Now, the longer the run, the more indicative of this information that is, or more useful this information is going to be, which I'll talk about in a second, of like what the ideal kind of length of a run is. So just take that with a grain of salt, and also take the other thing with a grain of salt in terms of like, you know, there are also other factors that can play into fatigue, such as, you know, hydration and sleep levels, fatigue and training. There's a lot of things as well, but for the most part, you can kind of tell when you're having that bonky feeling, right? That can come into play. So, that's always something that I suggest as well, is just taking note of your energy levels. And if you feel like you're getting this bonky feeling, then you probably want to try increasing the calories or carbohydrates per hour. And generally, I like to say calories increase in increments of 50, and carbohydrates, it's a sliding kind of thing. So generally, I usually say like bump it up by like 10 or so carbohydrates in that range that you're using. So if you do 250 and 50 to 70 grams of carbs per hour, and you want to bump it up, then the next run, I would suggest 300 calories an hour with, you know, 60 to 80 grams of carbs an hour. And then just kind of keep bumping it up from there, from 50 on the calories and then 10 on the carbs, until you get to that high end of the range. And then you can kind of test it out from there. So that's kind of the thing on there. Now, what about duration? Now, duration really comes from more so nausea, or like if you feel like your stomach is just not feeling as well. If you're feeling like that stomach as well, and assuming that the foods that you are having are something that you can take down, which I'll talk about in a second, then you might want to change up your duration a little bit. So like if you're feeling pretty fueled, but all of a sudden your stomach is like not feeling as great out there, then you might want to improve the duration. Like let's just say you're doing 30 minutes, you might want to do 20 minutes on the next time. And then you might want to do, if 20 minutes isn't good enough, you might want to try 10 minutes and kind of go from there. If you go to the 10 minute kind of interval, then you might want to switch up the type of food, which I'll kind of talk about in a second, that you want to have in there too. So just know that like these are kind of your rules for like in your tests to kind of say, oh, we might need to try something new from here, right? So that's kind of like the testing protocol and how you can really come up to. And then once you have these like long runs that you're nailing, you're feeling good, you're not having stomach issues, you're also feeling good later in the day as well, because sometimes like you actually not feeling as good throughout the day could be just being so behind in calories in a run itself. So just know that there's, you know, those are some signals to say like you have gotten a good nutrition strategy as well. Now, before I kind of talk about what types of food, there is a common question that I get all the time that I want to address here. And that is, hey, if I'm taking 250 to 400 calories an hour, I'm always in a caloric deficit. Is that by nature going to mean that I'm going to always be in this bonking state? Not exactly. So that is correct in the state of like you will be at a deficit, because the reality is, right, like, so for me, I burn, you know, anywhere between, I think, like 700 to 800 calories per hour, depending on weather, effort, all that kind of stuff, right? But if I'm doing 400 calories an hour on that kind of strategy, then always I'm going to be at a deficit. And the reality is, like, our bodies are going to burn way more calories than we're going to be burning. So inherently, we're going to be at a deficit on the run. So the way to combat that is twofold. The first thing is before you do a long run or a race, I always suggest eating more calories than usual so you can load your body up beforehand because it's going to be in this deficit and it's going to need to tap into that extra energy. So if you think about carb loading, right, like carb loading is a very, very famous thing, you know, when it comes to running in general, not just ultras, but marathons as well. That is because we are preloading glycogen in, we're preloading calories in our body so we can have extra energy levels for our body to tap into because it is going to be in a deficit when it comes to racing ultra marathons or even just doing a long run, right? So the night before a long run, and I would say even two nights before a race, generally, you want to increase the amount of calories that you're getting in and making sure to have that. So like for me, I mean, I get a little specific in like tracking my calories. You don't have to necessarily do that, but I like to, for a long run, like to be 1,000 calories over of what I usually am burning for the day. And I mean that specific day. For a race, I like to start this, especially a 100-mile race. I like to start this process 3 days out, and I usually will eat a lot more 3 days out. The first day, I'll go 500 over the second day first day, I'm meaning 3 days out before the race. 3 days out before the race, I'll take 500 in a surplus. The next day, I'll do 1,000. And the day after that, I'll do another 1,000. And so then I have this kind of reserve in the pipeline. And also my glycogen stores are filled so that when I go to this 100-mile race, I'm pretty fueled as well. So that's kind of the strategy that you can do to help to battle the deficit as well. It also doesn't only go before the race and the long run. It also goes after the race in the long run as well. You want to be sure to be able to fuel in those calories as much as you possibly can to replenish that after a long run or a race. Because you are burning so many calories out there and your body is going to need calories, especially after a long run, to continue your training and to be well fueled going forward. So that's why I always, like, after a long run, I will have a huge, huge meal, making sure that I'm replenishing my calories as much as I possibly can. Obviously, it's hard to get back to one-to-one, but again, the goal is not to get to one-to-one. It should be able to fuel as much as you can without like getting sick, right? And you don't just like shovel your, you know, face full of shit and just be, you know, just always try and, you know, eat as much as possible. But you want to make sure you're adequately fueling enough, you know, after a long run or a race so that you can make sure your body is also, you know, pretty good to not only feel great for the rest of the day, but also to dive back into training. Obviously for a race, you know, you can be a little bit more lenient. You should be able to be fueling, but you can do it over longer periods of time, such as 2 days, 3 days, and so on and so forth, where as if you're training and if you're going right back into training, you want to be able to, on that day, be able to refuel your body as much as you possibly can. Because one of the biggest things that I see athletes, you know, when they say, oh, I'm sluggish in my training, or I'm like not feeling great, I always like to take a look into, hey, how many calories are you eating each day? Are you refueling after your long runs, right? Because, and this gets into a whole deeper conversation about, you know, lifestyle nutrition, but you want to make sure you're adequately fueled, because again, your body uses calories as a source of energy when you're in high volume training, because that's going to be a big thing that's going to not only determine your energy levels when you're in the middle of high volume training, but also how you're performing in those runs as well. But anyways, that's kind of besides the fact as well. Now, that's kind of how you can assess, you know, if you're, well, I shouldn't say assess, but that's how you can mitigate that effect of being in that inevitable deficit when you're in a long run or a race, so to say. Hey everybody, just want to take a quick break in this episode because I partnered with a company recently that has just been a game changer when it comes to clothing and apparel that I'm wearing on my long runs. And the one thing that I get frustrated with when it comes to running gear or apparel in general is when it doesn't last long. Whether it rips, tears, or just wears away, it sucks to have to keep buying new stuff. Plus, doing that isn't sustainable for the planet. But I recently started trying this gear that lasts long, has a 5-year guarantee, is super comfortable, has extremely fun colors, which is so important, right? And helps to support clean water programs around the world. The gear is from Jonji, and you gotta check them out. They make high performance running apparel such as shorts, tanks, shirts, jackets, and more, all built to explore the world on the run. Not only do they have a 5-year guarantee where they will replace any product that wears away, but their stuff is super comfortable, breathable, and easy to move in, especially in the winter months when you're bundled up a ton. Plus, 2% of their sales go towards nonprofits working on viable clean water solutions, so it's a way to give back and feel good about where your money is going. They have super bright colors and artwork designed by talented artists all across the world, so you'll stand out on the trail, which is, like I said, one of the most important things. My favorite products have been the Transit Tech Short and the Run All Day Tee. I like the Transit Shorts because they're lightweight, easy to move on my runs, especially when I'm climbing hills or doing faster efforts, because they don't have a liner. And when you don't have a liner, I feel like you can move around a lot better when it comes to doing these faster efforts on the trail. And I love the Run All Day Tee because it feels like you're barely wearing anything out there, which keeps you really, really cool on a hot day and doesn't feel like you're overwhelmed on a cold day as well. So it feels like you're not wearing anything that's holding you down. So I 100% suggest you try out Jonji's clothing. And if you're looking to test drive it, you can get 10% off your order when you use the code EverydayUltra at checkout at jonji.com. That's spelled JANJI.com. Or you can go to the link in the show notes directly. Use code EverydayUltra to get 10% off your order. And if you're rocking Jonji in your next adventure, let me know and hope you give them a shot. Go to jonji.com and use code EverydayUltra. All right, everybody, let's get right back into this episode here. Now, let's go into what foods you should be having when you're out and doing your ultramarathon nutrition strategy. And that is, well, there really is no prescribed food because you can really eat almost anything you want out there. But my suggestion in general is to have a more carbohydrate-rich source of food. Just because, as I said before, calories and carbs are kind of the main things that you're putting in. Calories, obviously, is in any piece of food, but carbohydrates is the main source for glycogen inside of your muscles as well. And so I usually say having a carb-heavy food. That's like why when you see a lot of gels products, they have a lot of carbohydrates and a lot of drink mixes such as BPN's G1M Sport and all of those kind of things as well. They have a lot of carbohydrates in there because that's the main source of fuel that our body has in there as well. Now, again, what food should you try? Again, just try stuff and see what sticks well, right? It could be bars, it could be gels, it could be real food, it could be fruit, it could be liquid calories. Like, the options are endless. Now, I'm gonna give some specifics into some things to try out. Mainly if you've, kind of have tried a lot of things and have an upset stomach. So if you do have an upset stomach a lot, like knowing in the past, and it's usually because you're eating like a lot of like real food or bars or things like that, you might want to try liquid calories. And this was a game changer for me specifically because I used to have the worst stomach when it came to running ultras. And here's the thing, right? Everyone's different. So I'm not saying like what works for me works for other people, but, and this is a strategy for some people, but a lot of people were telling me they were like, try real food out there. Like, you're trying all these gels and shit like that. And like, you know, that might just be making you sick because it's like processed and all that kind of stuff, right? So I was like, all right, great. I'm just going to eat real food. So I ate real food. I had like bars and fruits and like all that kind of stuff. But my stomach was always a mess. And I was like, what the heck? Like, there's something must be wrong with me. But then I looked into liquid calories and I've used a gamut of products before, like in terms of liquid calories. Like, I've used them all, like Tailwind and everything like that. My current favorite right now is BPN's G1M Sport. That's been my go-to for sure. I also like Scratch as well, but G1M Sport has been like kind of my go-to for liquid calories. But anyways, why liquid calories had helped me to have an easier stomach is because when you're getting in the liquid calories, think about it, like your food doesn't have to digest as much because it's not like a solid food that's in your stomach. So for me, having a very hypersensitive stomach to digesting while I'm out, I like the liquid calories because I still get the calories coming in, but I don't have to put so much pressure on my digestive system to work hard to be able to digest the real food. Now, I still have real food when I'm out there. I still eat potatoes. I will eat bars if I'm going at a lower intensity, whereas if like for Cocodona, like I will be having solid food, but if I'm racing like Javelin 100 where I'm like going very, very fast relative to Cocodona, I'm probably not going to have as much real food because my body's going to be burning a lot more calories, which is a good thing to think about too, is your speed, right? Not to get too nitty gritty on there, but the faster you go, the generally more calories you're going to burn and the more your stomach's going to be working hard to process things. So that's why liquid calories are also good if you're going faster. But if you have a sensitive stomach in general, liquid calories is a good way to go to try and combat those things to be able to, you know, not put so much pressure on your stomach. And you can fuel exclusively on liquid calories if you want. When I did Javelin 100 in 2022, basically 95% of my calories was from liquid sources. And I also did gels too. So like most of my calories came from like liquid calories and gels, which are very like liquid based kind of calories. And the other 5%, like I had potato chips and a bagel, and but that was like very sparingly. But for the most part, I did liquid calories and gels, and I had zero nutrition issues. And I generally haven't had nutritional issues over the past few years, just sticking to that kind of strategy on there as well. Now, that doesn't always work for everybody, because some people, they take the liquid calories and they're like, I'm either way too hungry, or like I'm not, taking it in right, or whatever it is. Some people's stomachs can't handle the liquid calories. And here's another strategy to try out. Now, again, these are all if-then strategies. They're not blanket strategies. So I'm just kind of giving you some options in case you do find some issues in the foods that you're trying. The second thing is, like, you might be taking in gels or even liquid calories, right? Or these very kind of engineered kind of products, when maybe what you do need is real food. Again, for me, real food doesn't work, but for you, it might work. And it doesn't necessarily have to be like real food, like fruit or like, you know, a sandwich or like things like that. Like they can be like real food source food source options that you can kind of take out there to have that in there. So what I mean by that is like, you know, some people use like applesauce packets, or some people will have like, you know, those RX bars out there or anything. One thing that I really like too is, I'm using BPN a lot just because like I've really, really loved their products, but they have a gel that's basically like mostly natural ingredients in there. That's just like apple puree and things like that too, which is awesome. But regardless of what brand you're using out there, looking at the ingredients and seeing if it is like mostly made up of real food and not kind of this engineered stuff, that can help you to find something that's going to be able to be easier on your stomach, because sometimes people's stomachs are just really, really resistant to, you know, artificial sweeteners or even like some of those natural sweeteners, or maybe some other like engineered products that are in a lot of gels and things like that. So just look at the ingredients and try things out from there. Or you can even just do real food in general. Like I know some people, they fuel with sushi, some people fuel with potatoes. For me, potatoes are my jam. Like when I'm not doing liquid calories or gels, like I'm going for potatoes, and it doesn't matter which form. Chips, boiled potatoes, fries, whatever the source, you name it. That's what I'm going for, because my stomach does it, because it's usually pretty simple. So those are things that, you know, you can try it as well as real food sources if your stomach doesn't handle the engineered stuff as well. Now, regardless of whether you're trying liquid calories, whether you're trying gels, whether you're trying real food, I always say a great thing to have when you have a nutrition plan is have as many options as possible that you have tested out in your training that you can rely on in the moments of an ultra marathon. Because here is another thing that pops up, and I'm sure a lot of you have had this if you've been in an ultra before, and if you haven't, then I'm eternally jealous, because this is something that I face in nearly every ultra, and I don't think it's something that kills races if you have the right strategy to go about it, which I've been lucky enough to have. And that is the resistant stomach issue. So it's not that you're nauseous. It's not that like you feel sick to your stomach. It's just like what you've been eating just doesn't sound good anymore. And a lot of things don't sound good, right? So I'll give you an example. Even this year at Javelin 100, when I was racing, I was using Scratch Super High Carb, and I was drinking that. And my plan originally, and when I was like, if all goes well, I'm going to have this for every single loop that I'm out there. By the time I got to loop 4, I did not want it anymore. I was like, I'm just sick of it. I don't want the taste anymore. I don't want it. But I used other things that I've known have been tried and true to help me. And even, you know, one of the things on my nutrition list is pizza. And literally on my last loop, we took a whole pizza and I put a pizza inside my hydration belt. And I was basically eating pizza as like my fuel source for the last loop out there. So, but I knew that I would react well to pizza out there. And so, because I've tried it in training, I've tried it in races before, and it worked really, really well. So, but the only way you get over a resistant stomach is being able to have a lot of options that, again, you have tested out in training that you're not just winging on the fly out there, so you can go ahead and do so. And one of the biggest pro tips that I have for you listening, if you're training for a race, look up the list of all the things that they're going to have at the aid station at your specific race. Now, some races, they won't list these things. Most races will. If you go onto their website or if they give you a race packet, they usually will tell you what they have at each aid station, right? Whether it's Gatorade, a certain brand of gels, a certain drink mix that they have, a certain type of food. And if you're unsure of where to start in terms of what foods to try out, even if you have a plan right now, I highly suggest looking at the race you're training for and trying those things out. Because here's the reality, even though you might bring all the stuff that you think is great for you, all of a sudden, all that stuff might go to crap and your stomach might be like, no way, Jose, I don't want that stuff. And the only thing that you might have is aid station food. And if you know at those aid stations that you can take something in, then even when you have that resistant stomach, then you're like, okay, great, this is going to be awesome, I'm going to have that in there. And I always say, even if they don't have anything at those aid stations, make sure you're having drop bags or your crew, if you have crew out there, loaded with the extra nutritional stuff so you can take it with you in case you get that resistant stomach out there. And make sure if you have a crew to hand that list of all the nutritional stuff to your crew as well, so that if you get to the point, right, because listen, I've been on crews where I've gotten in and the runner has come into me and I say like, oh, do you want to have all this stuff? And they're like, no, I don't want that. That doesn't sound good. And I'm like, okay, well, what about this stuff? And they're like, nope, I don't want that. But if I know all the things that they've given me, then I can say, okay, how about this? How about this? How about this? Until you get to a point where they're like, yes, this sounds great. So having a full list of different varieties of foods, like as long as possible, like having just five options is not enough. Like you should have at least like 10 or 15 options. And you're like, how the heck am I going to try all this stuff out? It will come with time. Like you don't have to try all this stuff out in a weekend. You just try stuff out as you race, as you train, and you kind of learn from there on the fly. And eventually you will have a lot of stuff on the list, but the more things that you can get on there up front is going to be great. And I'll tell you how to try this in your training, shortly as well. But again, you should have a long list of things to try out in your races. And if you don't know where to start, really, really just look at the race you're training for, see what kind of products that they have at the aid station or food types or anything like that. And those are the things that you should try because they're going to have those at the aid stations. And if they don't have the things that you do react well with at those, if they don't have them at the aid station, make sure to have a drop bag or a crew strategy where you have those things on tap so that you can have those options in case you get that resistant stomach as well. Now, I won't go too deep into this part of the resistant stomach thing because this really taps in more to hydration, but sometimes you can even get resistant stomach because you're not hydrating enough. Your stomach actually needs liquid in order to clear the stomach out and really activate the digestive process a lot more efficiently. So if you're not hydrating, you can actually get that resistant stomach and even nausea as well because your stomach is just kind of sit there with the food in there and it's not going to digest it as well. So making sure you have a bulletproof hydration strategy is also going to help your digestion and nutrition strategy as well when you're out there. And again, that's outside of the scope of this podcast. I did do a whole thing on hydration and electrolyte strategy, which if you want to listen to that, just search Everyday Ultra Hydration and it should come up. And then that's going to be a great thing. So you want to also make sure your hydration strategy is down pat. But since this is more so on nutrition and fueling, we're going to stick to that topic on here as well. So that's a lot there, folks, but we're not done yet because we're going to talk about how you can actually implement this in your training to be 100% confident that you're going to have a nutrition strategy out there, which actually, by the way, before we dive into that, I can hear some of you saying, wait, hold on, Joe. What if you do have a whole list of things that you have tried in your training, right? You've tried it all, but literally everything sounds bad. Like everything sounds bad. Everything on the list sounds bad. And listen, it happens. I've seen it happen. It hasn't happened to me personally, but I've seen it happen to runners that I've crewed, runners that I've paced, athletes that I've talked to. I've seen this happen before. And if this is the reality, right, where you basically have gone through everything that you've tried out in the past, that's when, and this is a very last resort effort here, folks. Don't use this as a default. Your last resort effort is to try something similar to the things that have worked for you in the past at a specific aid station, even if you haven't tried it before. But notice how I said the word similar, right? Because you're making a best guess that this thing might happen. Now, again, as I said before, when you do this, you're rolling the dice on whether or not your stomach's going to handle it or not. So there is an inherent risk in taking in something new on race day. And that's one of the big rules. Nothing new on race day. I think that rule should be the default, but if you're at a code red situation where you can't take in food, which, by the way, that is a code red situation, because if you are not fueling in, like, you're really at risk for a lot of problems in your ultra. So if you get to the last ditch effort where you've tried everything on your list and nothing's coming down, then I would say go for the next similar thing on your list when you're on at an aid station and trying to get those different things. And even if you're at a race where, you know, you see a crew and the crew can, like, go to a store or something like that if they don't have it, right? You can tell them, hey, like, I want a smoothie, or hey, like, I want this and this and this. And if your crew is great and they're willing to help, they can go on and get it as well. But if you don't have a crew and you're just reliant on drop bags and aid stations, that's where you're going to have to make the next best guess on there as well. Now, again, there is some risk that, you know, something will happen with your stomach, but here's the cool thing is that if the risk pays off and you don't get those stomach issues, then guess what? Now you have something new on your list to kind of put on there as well for going into your next races, right? And for me, now this was, something that for me was something new on race day that I started trying, that basically everything went to shit for me in a race. And this is my very first 100 miler, Zion 100. My stomach was destroyed. I couldn't take down anything. I was, like, pretty much just absolutely fucked. And, I was at an aid station and I tried ramen and broth, and that stuff went down great. It went great. It got me the calories that I needed from the noodles and it didn't bother my stomach. And I was like, oh, this is awesome. And what's super cool is, like, now, like, it's not high on my list. It's not a default, but I know that that's another option that I have in the quiver in case I do need something extra, out there as well. So just know that, like, you know, and you can take more of these kind of risks if you're in a tune-up race, or, you know, you're in a long run that's kind of far out from an ultra, where you can try these things out, which I'll talk about how to implement this in training. But, those are some risks that you can take on those tune-up races, or, you know, longer runs that are kind of earlier out from your training, just to see if, you know, those things kind of, you know, stick with you, which you should be doing in your runs anyways, which I'll kind of talk about now, right? So let's just talk about training the gut and also seeing what foods stick in your stomach and how you implement that in your training. Now, I'll talk about training your gut first to be able to run while digesting food. So I say that you should be eating on runs, on every one of your runs, that are longer than 90 minutes. And you're like, that doesn't seem like a lot. Yeah, it's not a lot, but if you just wait to your long runs to train your stomach to digest food, you're only really giving it one or two, maybe maximum three, if you're doing three long runs a week, which really would only happen in kind of peak training, where you're really training your stomach to digest. But if you have long runs that are longer than 90 minutes more frequently throughout the week, that's going to give your stomach more stimulus that's going to be able to be out there to test those things on a run. So any run that's 90 minutes or longer, I would be testing out your nutrition strategy, not necessarily to test out what foods are well. Of course, that's a byproduct of it. But most importantly, you're training your stomach to be able to digest while it is active and on the go. So that's an important thing to do as much. And even if you don't have runs that are 90 minutes or longer throughout the week, maybe because you're at a point in training where, you know, you aren't building up to that yet, which is totally fine and normal and honestly, like, you shouldn't be doing 90 minutes a week if that's not what you're training, or 90 minutes each day, not a week. You should be definitely doing more than 90 minutes a week if you're ultra training. But my point is, if you're doing runs that aren't 90 minutes or longer besides your long runs, then some of your runs during the week that maybe are an hour, you can start to try those things as well. But the more times you can be out there training your gut to digest while running, it's going to be really helpful. And even so, even if it's not a 90 minute run, what I generally do sometimes is I will, like, eat, like, a bagel and cream cheese, like, right before I go out for a run. And basically, like, yeah, so, I mean, when I'm doing that for the first time in a while, and I'm actually going through this process now with Cocodona because, anyways, I'm kind of tangenting here, but you might get a little bit of an upset stomach, but you're training the gut to kind of run with it as well. Now, you shouldn't be doing this all the time, but it's a great way to kind of like, you know, do it without actually eating on the shorter runs, right? So I'm going through this process right now because I'm really starting to get into my longer runs and I'm trying to train my gut back to be able to do it because I've taken off a long time from elongated running since my last race at Javelina 100. So I'm going through this process of retraining the gut to be able to digest on the run as well. So you should be doing that too. As a standard, 90 minutes or longer should be the runs where you're feeling. But if you're at a point in your training where you're not doing 90 minutes or longer, except for long runs, you can go ahead and try them on your hour long runs during the week, or you can even eat before the run, which I suggest everyone do no matter what, which is a different topic on its own. You can do that and then go out for a run and see how your stomach fares as it's digesting when you are out there on the run. So that is a great way to train your gut. And you should be doing that as consistently as possible early on in your training. Early on in your training, not late. You should be doing this early on in the training. You want to train the gut earlier. Now, you don't have to really go through your nutrition strategy super early on into your training in terms of like the race day specific strategy, but you should be at least trying to train your gut early on in the strategy or early on in your training as well. Now, what about the actual application into the training, right? Your race day strategy. So on every single long run that you have, whether it's 90 minutes or whether it's 7 or 8 hours, whatever your long run is, you should be practicing your race day nutrition down to a T. Now, if you're at the point where you're unsure of the calories and carbs and the frequency per hour, again, like I said earlier in the episode, you want to start at the low end and kind of progress from there. And if you're not sure at the foods, well, just try stuff and see what happens and make note of it and use the signs that I mentioned before to see if it works or if it doesn't work, right? But you should, once you do that early on in your training, like all that testing phase should be done like months and months and months and months and months before your training. It should be done like way early in advance. Once you start to get a little closer to the race and your long runs start to get longer, right? And this is where you're really going to, you should be at a point where you should know, okay, every single hour, I'm going to have this amount of calories. Every single hour, I'm going to have this amount of carbs. I'm going to be eating every 20 minutes and I'm going to be having these things in my Rolodex when I'm out there. Once you get to that point, you should have 4 to 6 runs where you're thoroughly testing that strategy. And for those runs, they should ideally at the very, very minimum be 3 hours or more with at least, I would say, 2 to 3 runs over the 4 hour mark where you're testing the nutrition. So 3 hours or more is generally the guide map because I don't think everybody has to be running more than 4 hours for a given ultra, especially like a 50K. You don't really have to always do 3 hours or more. I'm not saying like for any 50K doing more than three hours is ludicrous, like, because listen, there is value of doing 5 or 6 hour training runs for a 50K if your body can handle it. So just don't get those words confused there. But that's why I have that rule there. But why I say at least 2 runs over the 4 hour mark is because once you get to the 4 hour kind of period, that's where a deeper fatigue can kind of lead into your body. And when you have that deeper fatigue, that is generally where nutrition can start to really deteriorate a lot. That's where your body starts sending extra resources, aka blood, to the different extremities in your body to be able to keep you going. And that's kind of where the nutritional stuff can really start to break down a lot more. So that's why I usually like to have athletes, if they are trying to test a nutrition plan, get them to runs that are over 4 hours, at least, at the very, very least, 2 of those runs over the 4 hour mark, just so we can get them to make sure that that nutrition strategy is going to be good for them. Now, is there an ideal length over that 4 hours? I mean, not exactly. Again, that depends more so on like where you're at for the training, what race are you training for, what's the terrain, all that kind of stuff as well. But that's why I say 2 runs, at least the 4 hours mark. Ideally, if you can get this to at least 5 or 6 hours, that's going to be even more ideal. And so you want to have at least 2 runs over that where you're really, really testing those things out. And they should be continuous runs. They shouldn't be broken up into 2 different parts. They should be continuous runs because think about it. If you're breaking up let's just say you have 7 hours of running. If you're breaking up three and a half, you have this lull in between where your stomach can kind of recover and kind of get back to things. And, you know, more resources are going to go to the digestive system. Whereas if you're doing it continuously, then you're putting yourself in that fatigue mark as well, where you're testing those things out as well. Now, they don't have to be training runs. They can be tune-up races, right? Let's just say you're training for a 100 miler. You can have a tune-up 50K where you can really count that as one of the runs where you're testing your nutrition strategy. Because if you're running a 50K, you likely, unless you're like super duper fast, are going to be that sub 4 hour mark. But most of the times you're going to be over that 4 hour mark. And what's super cool is you can test that in the terms of the aid stations and how you carry the nutrition out there with you. Like, you get more of a race day setting as well. So it doesn't necessarily have to be quote unquote training runs. They can be tune-up races leading up to it as well, which, again, I've said this on the podcast many times before. Something I think every athlete should do leading up to a major race is having tune-up races to not just only practice your endurance, practice your pacing, practicing all those things, but mostly to your nutrition strategy as well. And so in your training, when you're looking at your training leading up to a specific race, you want to have 4 to 6 runs where you're thoroughly testing your nutrition that are at least 3 hours, with at least 2 of those runs over the 4 hour mark where you can go ahead and test those out as well. Now, please, a big caveat to this is make sure that your training is going to be ample enough where you can handle that kind of running. Don't just please don't, if you have no, like, if you haven't been running in like the past like 4 weeks, don't just launch into a 5 hour run to be like, I'm going to test nutrition. Like, please don't do that. That is a recipe for disaster. So make sure that you are ramping up to that point where you can handle those kind of runs and handle that volume. So that's a whole different other podcast on like how you can ramp up safely to that kind of stuff as well, which we'll talk about in a different episode. But that's a disclaimer out there. If you are just starting ultra running, don't just like put a 6 hour run just to be like, I'm doing this to test nutrition as early as possible. You want to build to it, which is why I kind of said earlier into this point that you want to do more of that like bulletproof race training later in the training, because that's where a lot of those longer runs come in. Whereas you're training the gut on some of the shorter runs earlier when they are shorter, before you kind of go into there as well. So just to recap that, earlier on in your training, you should be more so focused on training the gut, and you can do that on runs that are 90 minutes or longer. Or if you're not at that point, if you're doing hours or hour long runs and things like that, you can either do eat right before it and test the nutrition from there, or you can even test the nutrition while you're running as well, even if the run is 60 minutes. And as the volume progresses and as the long runs get longer, you should be thoroughly testing your nutrition that on 4 to 6 runs that are at least 3 hours more, ideally with at least 2 of those runs over the 4 hour mark. And again, I like the sweet spot 5 to 6 hours, but that depends on what kind of race you're training for and where you're at in your training. Now, in those kind of things as well, you also want to practice your alternative plans, right? So you might say, hey, on this race, I'm going to, you know, test with 3 scoops of G1M Sport and 1 Go Gel from BPN every single hour. And that's what I'm going to try every single hour. I would also say, like, if you have the ability to, you know, use your car at like a midway point, or, you know, have a drop bag somewhere or anything like that, having the other alternatives in there in case, because you might get resistant stomach on these long runs as well. And you want to be able to practice to show yourself, hey, I can get resistant stomach and I can eat these other things as well. Now, I'm not saying you have to have a smorgasbord of things out there like when you're doing a long run, but it helps. I mean, like for me, like on a lot of these long runs, I will bring a duffel bag with a lot of food options. And if I don't eat it, great. I can use it for the next long run. Or I can even use it, you know, post-run as well. Like if I'm like, oh, like, you know, like this is great. I want to fuel up right away. But that is something that you can do to really bulletproof those things as well. Now, if you follow this strategy in your training and you get to a point where you're nailing down 2 of those runs over the 4 hour mark, and when you're like, oh my gosh, like I'm actually really, really nailing this down. I feel great. I'm not bonking. And if you do a tune-up race and you see that, like, I've fueled well, I didn't get nauseous, like I felt great the entire time, right? Assuming that your pacing strategy and hydration is also on point too. I just want to say there's a lot of different variables, but assuming that everything else went well, if your nutrition felt great, your energy levels felt great, you didn't feel like you were bonking, then you have found a bulletproof strategy to help you get to that finish line well fueled. Now, once you have that strategy, this is the most important thing ever. If it isn't broke, don't fix the damn thing. Don't fix it. Don't like try and tinker with it. If you found something that works, gosh, lean on that as long as you possibly can. Now, I'm not saying don't test out new things, to have a longer list. I think you should always be doing that, but make sure to do that early on in your training so you're not like tinkering with stuff, you know, really close to the race where you're having these like upset stomachs where it's affecting your training and fitness, right? Like, don't do that. But what I'm saying is once you have found the strategy, like there really is no need to further tinker that or like try something just for like shits and gigs and everything like that, right? Like, I always say, like, because some people come to me, they go, and this happens with like a lot of athletes I coach, they go, I have a nutrition strategy, like it works great, I feel awesome, I don't feel hungry, I don't feel nauseous, and this is what I'm doing, like, do you think I should change this up? And my response to that is always, congratulations, you found a nutrition strategy that works, do not change it at all. Now, if it gets to the point where, because this is also a reality, there might get to a point where you just become sick of the thing that you are eating. Like for me, for a couple of years, I used Gatorade Endurance, and like I use it at Javelina 100 in 2020. Two, I even use it in my Ironman days as well. Like I've used it for long periods of time and it never gave me issues. And then when I raced Black Canyon, I remember I was like, I can't do this anymore. And I haven't had it since. And I'm just like scarred from it because like, think about it. If you like, you find a nutrition strategy that works, like you're probably going to be consuming that by the gallon, if it's a liquid thing or like by the pound. Excuse me. Oh my gosh. That was weird. Sorry for that little sound there, but by the pound. Also, by the way, if you can't tell, my voice is a little off. I don't know why. I think I've been on calls a lot, recording podcasts. I think my voice is just slowly starting to deteriorate a little bit. So we're going to stay strong, though. That's what we do as ultra runners. We stay strong, and I'm going to show up for y'all. Anyways, what I was saying before is you're going to be consuming things by the pound. That's how you normally say it. You just might get to the point where you're just like, I need to just have something else. And that's fine. And that's where you go through that process again of trying to find new things and have it as well. But for the meantime, if it is working, for the love of gosh, do not fix it. Like, have it, write it down, keep testing it. Like, don't tinker with it. And you have a winning strategy for sure. All right, everybody. That is a crash course on nutrition to fuel for your next ultra. If you have any other questions or need anything as well, always feel free to shoot me a DM on Instagram at Joe Corcione. I usually take a few days to respond to DMs as usually my DMs are pretty cluttered, but I also have my email everydayultrapodcast@gmail.com. By the way, I do also create custom nutritional plans for any of my athletes who are on the Everyday Ultra Racing team who use me as their coach. So if you'd like me to coach you in your next ultra and come up with your nutritional plan, we currently have a wait list right now as our team is closed. But if you'd like to get on the wait list to have me create a nutritional plan for you for your next race, and we go through a whole process of testing and everything like that, and I make sure to go through this whole process personally with you to give you that plan, feel free to email me at everydayultrapodcast@gmail.com. Let me know you want to be on the wait list and we can go through and give you a personalized thing. And like, this is where I also suggest different foods to you and give you that feedback and everything like that. So if you're unsure, when to do the nutritional tests, when to ramp up your training to get to the point to do that, when you should do tune-up races, I'll be able to tell you all those things on a personal basis. So if you're interested in that, shoot me an email, everydayultrapodcast@gmail.com. We'll put you on the wait list and we'll reach out if spots open up and I'll create a nutritional plan for you as well. Now, thanks so much for listening, everybody. I appreciate you a ton. By the way, too, if you want any other topics that we'll be going through on the podcast, let me know and I'll be more than happy to help, because my goal with this show is to help you be a better endurance athlete every day. And that's why we are here. So if there's anything I can do to cover on the show that will help that, let me know and I'll be more than happy to help. And in the meantime, my friends, thank you so much for listening. I appreciate you. Go out there, eat well on your runs. And remember, my friends, be a better endurance athlete every day. And we'll talk real soon. Take care.